Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
In 2023, I won the Miss Wisconsin beauty pageant, which meant that I got to compete for the Miss Midwest crown. It was my dream come true. Sure, it wasn't quite as important as Miss America, but it came with a big cash prize and a possible job at the cosmetic company that sponsored the event. I needed the money, and I really wanted that job, so I worked tirelessly to make sure that I won the competition. All the contestants gathered at a hotel in Grand Rapids, where we got to meet each other and the judges. As soon as I walked in, my heart dropped. I recognized one of the other contestants, Rose, the woman who ruined my life. I saw her chatting and laughing with one of the judges, looking as beautiful as ever. God, I wanted to punch that smile off her face. Rose and I used to be college friends, but during one of our final exams, Rose stole my notes and brought them into the exam hall. The professor found them, and because the pages were in my handwriting, Rose blamed everything on me. I was kicked out of college, permanently branded a cheater, while Rose got away scot-free. Because of her, I didn't have a degree and couldn't find any work higher than minimum wage. And now she was here. She was my competition.
Diana, it's wonderful to see you. You look spectacular.
I was too angry to speak, so I just turned around and left. As I sulked outside the conference room, I vowed to myself that I wouldn't let Rose beat me. I'd get my revenge by winning this competition fair and square. I was more determined than ever. I practiced my dance routine over and over. I made friends with everyone I met. I forced myself to look beautiful and perfect at all times, even when people weren't watching. For the whole weekend, I was everything a beauty queen should be. While Rose acted like her typical bitchy self, she was nice to the judges, but to other contestants, she was rude and confrontational. And to the poor hotel staff, she was an absolute nightmare, demanding special attention and screaming at anyone who got in her way.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Watching her freak out at the workers made me more confident than ever. There was no way she'd win this pageant. Everyone could see she didn't deserve it. We did the talent portion first. I absolutely killed it. Rose did okay with her juggling act. Next was the swimsuit portion, which went well for both of us. I had to admit, she had a killer physique. Then we had a break before the final round, the interviews. All the girls were in the dressing rooms checking their makeup and practicing their answers. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed Rose get a phone call and race into the hallway. I could tell something suspicious was going on. She looked like she was up to something. I listened through the door as she talked on the phone. She sounded really flirty. I could only hear her side of the conversation, but that was enough to figure out what was going on. She was sleeping with one of the judges. Once again, she was going to win by cheating. I couldn't let that happen. I rushed over to her makeup area and pulled a pill bottle out of my purse. Ever since Rose ruined my life, I've been taking antidepressants. I'm used to them now, but when I first started, they made me sleepy and sluggish. If I slipped a couple of these pills into Rose's drink, Then she'd slur her way through the interview and embarrass herself on stage. I looked around to make sure no one was watching, and I dropped two pills into her water bottle. When Rose came back with a big smile on her face, I wished her luck.
Thanks, babe, but I don't need luck.
She grabbed her water bottle and chugged the whole thing. I felt a little guilty, but I mostly felt proud of myself. I was finally getting back at her. After that, the contestants lined up on stage and we took turns going to the microphone to answer the judges' questions. As the other girls had their turn, I noticed Rose start to sway on her feet. She could barely keep her eyes open. When it was my turn to get interviewed, I was amazing. I had concise, intelligent answers. The judges all seemed impressed. Then I got back in line and Rose went to the microphone. They asked her about her thoughts on climate change. Rose grabbed onto the mic stand to steady herself. The pills were really affecting her.
I think it's like the climate is, we all need good weather, and if the weather isn't good, then we...
Before she could even finish, she collapsed onto the stage. Her face was swollen and she was gasping for air. A judge jumped onto the stage and screamed for someone to call a doctor. Rose was having an allergic reaction to my pills. All I could do was stand there and watch. Thankfully, there was a medical conference at our hotel, so plenty of doctors were nearby to help her. The pageant was postponed while one of the doctors treated her. He injected her with an EpiPen and she started breathing again. She still looked awful though. Pretty soon, another doctor found my antidepressants in the changing room. My heart sank and I knew I'd been caught. From the floor, Rose glared up at me.
That bitch wants me dead!
I was about to confess when all the other contestants stepped forward, saying they'd seen Rose steal my pills from my purse. A cleaning lady said the same thing. It was a lie, of course, but all these people had suffered through Rose's abuse while I'd been nice to them all. They were defending me.
Liars! All of them!
Rose had a full-on freakout, and the doctors had to restrain her before she could attack me. The judges disqualified her from the competition, and I got the crown. It was the happiest moment of my life. The story has been loosely inspired from a real-world event. In July 2025, Brandy Nicole Pond, a Utah woman, survived a rare and life-threatening skin disorder triggered by a common antibiotic. After completing a 10-day course of Bactrim for a UTI, Nicole developed Stevens-Johnson syndrome, which quickly progressed to its more severe form, toxic epidermal necrolysis. Within 72 hours, she suffered fever, rashes, and blisters, eventually requiring hospitalization, ventilation, and weeks of intensive care in a Miami hospital. Now recovering at home, Nicole is unable to work and is using her rare experience to raise awareness about rare reactions. It happened overnight. I went from healthy to disabled, she said. I'd been hauling freight across the Midwest for 10 years, mostly night shifts because the pay was better and the roads were emptier. You see all kinds of weird when you're out there in the dark. Deer frozen in headlights, drifters thumbing rides, even the occasional UFO sightings if you believe the guys at truck stops. But nothing prepared me for that night in rural Ohio, back in the summer of 2022. I was delivering a load of coffee beans and pastries to a Dunkin' Donuts off some forgotten highway exit. It was around 2:30 a.m. when I swung my rig around the back of the building to park. The lot was empty except for the faint glow from the drive-through window where some poor kid was probably brewing the first pot of the day. As my headlights swept the front curb, I spotted her. A woman sitting there, knees pulled up to her chest, rocking slightly. Shorts and a tank top, nothing warm for the chill that creeps in after midnight. I've seen my share of folks down on their luck. Homeless, high, or just heartbroken. But something about her set my nerves on edge. Truckers learn quick. Middle of nowhere at night. Lone woman? Could be trouble. I killed the engine and pocketed my stun gun. It's just a cheap thing I bought online after a close call in Indiana. Then I hopped down from the cab. She didn't look up until I was about 10 feet away. My boots crunching on the gravel. That's when I saw it. Dark stains on her shorts. Before I could say a word, she jumped up. eyes wild like a cornered animal.
My boyfriend stabbed me in my butt!
She screamed, her voice cracking the silence like a gunshot. She paced back and forth, hands flapping at her sides.
He f***ing stabbed me right in the ass! Can you believe that sh**? My own boyfriend!
I froze, heart pounding.
Whoa, lady. Easy now,
I said, holding my hands up like I was calming a spooked horse.
You okay? That doesn't look good. Here, let me help you.
She kept pacing, muttering under her breath, then louder.
Stabbed me in the butt. Yeah, that's what he did. Right there.
She twisted around, pointing at her backside. Her eyes darted everywhere, pupils huge.
He's crazy, you know. I only cheated once a week. Jealous asshole. He stabbed me.
I pulled out my phone, dialing 911 before she could say another word. The dispatcher picked up quick. Small mercy in the boonies.
911, what's your emergency?
Yeah, hi. I'm at the Dunkin' Donuts off Route 42 near Millersburg. There's a woman here. Says her boyfriend stabbed her. She needs medical help right away.
The woman stopped pacing when she heard me. She stared, head tilted like a dog hearing a whistle. You're calling the cops? She asked, voice dropping low.
EMTs, mostly.
I told her, covering the phone for a sec.
Sit down, okay? You're hurt. Help's coming.
The dispatcher was firing questions. Is she conscious? Breathing normally? Any weapons visible?
She's up and talking. Pacing a lot and seems agitated, but no weapons I can see.
Stabbed in the butt!
Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's chain. Ah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.
My boyfriend did it! He's out there somewhere!
Ma'am, units are en route. Stay on the line. Try to keep her calm. Hey, what's your name?
I'm Tom. I'm just a trucker making a drop. What happened exactly?
Name's Emily.
Or whatever. Boyfriend's a prick. We were fighting in the car and he pulled over at the gas station. Then he grabbed a knife from the glove box and bam, right in the cheek. Hurt like hell.
Jesus, did he take off? Where is he now?
She shrugged, still pacing.
Don't know. Ran into the woods maybe. Or back home. Who cares? It hurts.
Sit down, Emily,
I urged.
You're losing blood. Let me get a towel or something from the truck.
But she wouldn't sit. She just kept repeating.
Stabbed in the butt. Cheated only once a week. My own boyfriend did this to me.
The dispatcher chimed in.
Sir, ask if she's on anything. It'll help the EMTs.
I hesitated. Then.
Emily, did you take anything tonight? Pills. Anything.
Her eyes narrowed, and something shifted. The pacing stopped dead. She locked eyes with me, cold as ice.
It ain't my blood. And it could be yours, too.
What?
You heard me. Called the cops on me? Big mistake, trucker boy. I'll stab you in the butt. Or worse.
I didn't wait. I backed up fast, yanked open the cab door, and jumped in, slamming it shut. I locked it just as she banged on the window.
Open up! You think you're safe in there?
Dispatcher, she's threatening me now.
I said into the phone, voice shaking.
She says the blood's not hers. I'm in my truck.
Stay put, sir. Officers are 5 minutes out.
She pounded once more, then turned and bolted across the lot, straight into the adjacent field. Tall grass swallowed her legs as she ran, zigzagging like she knew the terrain. I fired up the engine, swung the headlights to track her. She glanced back once, face twisted in rage. Then she vanished into the woodline a couple hundred yards out. Darkness ate her up. I sat there, sweating, stun gun in hand, until blue lights flashed in my mirrors. Two cop cars pulled in, sirens off. A burly officer approached, hand on his holster.
You're the one who called?
Yeah,
I said, rolling down the window.
She took off that way.
Into the woods. He nodded,
radioing it in. His partner, a younger guy, shone a flashlight on the curb. Blood smears, fresh and sticky.
"Looks real enough," he muttered.
They made me wait in the truck while they searched. Flashlights bobbed in the field, dogs barking from one of the cruisers. EMTs showed up eventually, but with no one to treat, they just milled around. Dawn was breaking when the lead cop came back, face grim.
"No sign of her. Woods are thick back there. Could be miles before she hits a road."
"You believe me, right?" I asked. "The blood's right there." He sighed.
"Yeah, we see it. Collected samples. I need to give a statement."
I spent the next hour recounting everything. Her words, the threat, the run. "Think she killed someone?" I finally asked. The cop shrugged.
"It's possible. We'll check missing persons, domestic calls. Blood will tell us more."
They let me go around 6 a.m., sun peeking over the trees. I delivered my load to a wide-eyed manager who'd heard the commotion, then hit the road, caffeine buzzing in my veins. But I couldn't shake it. Emily, or whatever her name was, haunted me. Was she a victim, high and scared? Or a killer, blood on her hands from some poor guy back at the gas station?
Until this summer, Harry was my best friend. We worked at the same office, and on my first day there, I had some trouble figuring out my new job duties. I sort of lied on my resume a little. Harry really helped me out, and he promised to have my back if I ever had any more trouble. He was a lot smarter than me, but he was always patient. Every once in a while, he'd even take on some of my workload if I was lagging behind. Great guy. At least, I thought he was. The only problem was that he was really shy when it came to women. We're both in our early 20s, and I don't think he'd ever had a real girlfriend before. So, to pay him back for all of his help at work, I promised to give him some relationship advice. I'm kind of a ladies' man. I set him up on a couple dates, but he always did something to embarrass himself. Well, earlier this year, our company hired a new receptionist. Her name was Pam. And she was really hot, way out of Harry's league. She walked around the office talking with everyone except Harry. I felt really bad for him. One day, he saw Pam and me talking by the water cooler. After she was gone, he pulled me aside.
"I need you to set us up. She's perfect."
There was no way that she'd go on a date with nerdy Harry, but I didn't want to disappoint him. He'd already done so much for me. "I'll see what I can do." I waited until after work and then pulled Pam aside when we were both in the parking lot. I told her about Harry, really emphasizing all his good qualities. And I wasn't exaggerating, he had a ton of good qualities. He just, looked like a weasel.
"It's so sweet that you care so much for your little friend, but I'm looking for a real man. Like you."
And then she proposed something that was both shocking and, really hot.
"I'll go on one date with him. That's it. But only if you take me back to your place right now."
She leaned closer, and she whispered everything that she wanted me to do to her. It was wild. And, of course, I couldn't say no. I took her back to my place and learned just how wild she really was. We started meeting up a couple times a week. But we didn't flirt in the office. I didn't love her or anything, and she definitely didn't love me. It was entirely transactional. The weekend after our first time together, Harry took her to a really expensive restaurant for their one and only date. He called me immediately afterwards, raving about how wonderful it was. He said he loved her, which made me feel awful, especially because she was already on her way back to my place. That Monday, she let him down gently. He acted fine at the time, but afterwards I caught him crying in the bathroom. I gave him a little pep talk, which seemed to make him feel better. For the next couple of months, I continued seeing Pam. Harry acted normal, but he always got bummed out when he saw her around the office. One night, Harry came over to my place for dinner. We were planning to hang out and watch a movie. He asked if he could use my bathroom. But when he came out, he acted really awkward and said that he had to go.
I couldn't figure out what had happened, until I looked in the bathroom and I saw Pam's makeup kit on my sink. Harry had already left. I immediately called him to apologize, but he seemed weirdly calm on the phone.
I'm happy for you, man. No worries. Let's not talk about it.
And we didn't. 2 weeks passed, and he never brought it up. He acted totally normal. And then, out of the blue, he told me that he was renting a beach house for the weekend. It was an expensive place, and it wasn't a special occasion or anything. He just, wanted to get away for a while. He invited me and a couple of our co-workers, including Pam. I didn't think he was planning anything weird. He was acting so normally. And when Pam and I arrived together, he greeted us with big hugs.
Welcome to paradise!
We all hung out on the balcony overlooking the ocean. It was beautiful. Everyone was laughing and having a good time. We all got pretty drunk on wine. Pam was being a little handsy, but for Harry's sake, I kept my distance. By evening, I changed into my swimsuit. The house had an amazing infinity pool that I couldn't resist. I assumed the others would join me later, but I wanted to swim alone for a bit. It's my favorite hobby. I only swam for a couple of minutes before I heard a splash. Someone had just dived in. It was Harry. I saw him swimming under the surface, and he had something with him. It looked like a black box. I wanted for him to resurface so I could ask him what it was, but he stayed under for a long time, swimming by my legs. Then, his hands grabbed my ankle and pulled me down. Everything happened so fast. It took me a few seconds to realize that he was tying my ankle to a weight that he had dropped in the deep end. By the time that I'd realized what he'd done, he had already swum out of my reach. I was trapped. I couldn't reach the surface. I couldn't untie my ankle or move the weight. I thrashed around, really panicking. I was going to drown. I'm an excellent swimmer, but it would only take a minute or two before I died. My heart pounded and my lungs burned. Through my panic, I realized with total clarity that Harry wanted me dead. He didn't forgive me. He had planned this whole trip to get his revenge, and now I only had seconds left. No one would find my body until it was too late. It wasn't fair. Pam wasn't his girlfriend. She didn't even like him. Sure, I could have handled things better, but I didn't deserve to die. My panic very quickly turned to anger, and it was my anger that kept me going. It gave me the clarity to stop thrashing around and the strength to pull the weight inch by inch across the bottom of the pool until I reached the shallow end. Right before I lost my strength, I was able to push my head out of the water and gasp for air. I made it. I survived. I walked to the pool steps where I could steady myself and untie my ankle. And then I pulled out the weight and I trudged back upstairs. The party was still going strong when I walked in, dripping wet. Harry wasn't facing me, but everyone else saw me approach. They all stared in shock. Pam even gasped. Harry was in the middle of a story, so it took him a while to notice the stares. He slowly turned around. Right as I dropped the weight onto his foot, his bones crunched.
Call an ambulance!
The ambulance arrived in 5 minutes. The police arrived a minute after that.
This happened 10 years ago. It had been almost a year since I'd last seen Jake. We grew up together in the sleepy suburb outside Chicago, bonding over late-night video games, cheap beer, and those endless summers where nothing mattered except dodging our parents' curfews. He was the kind of guy who can make you laugh until your sides hurt, always with that infectious grin and a story ready to top yours. But life pulled us apart when he landed a job in Denver. Something in sales, he said, with promises of big commissions and a fresh start. I was happy for him, really. We texted sporadically, shared memes, but the distance did what it does, fades things out. Then, out of the blue, he messaged me one Friday in early fall.
Back in town for a week, bro. Let's grab a beer and catch up.
I didn't hesitate.
Hell yeah. Come over tonight. I'll fire up the grill.
My place was a modest two-bedroom apartment downtown. Nothing fancy, but it had a balcony overlooking the river where we could sit and bullshit like old times. I was 25, single after a messy breakup with Julia, who left me because, as she put it, I was too comfortable with mediocrity and working a dead-end job at a logistics firm. Jake showing up felt like a lifeline to simpler days. He rolled in around 7 p.m., looking a bit rougher than I remember. His hair was longer, unkempt, and there were dark circles under his eyes, but he played it off with that same old charm.
"Man, look at you. Still got that baby face,"
he teased, pulling me into a bro hug. We cracked open a six-pack of Miller Lite, his favorite, and settled on the couch. The conversation flowed easy at first. His new gig wasn't planning out like he'd hoped. The boss was a moron. Denver winter sucked. I told him about Julia, how she'd ghosted me after 6 months.
"Women, am I right?"
Jake chuckled, clinking his bottle against mine.
"They're all the same. Chase the excitement. Bail when shit gets real."
"Yeah, but Julia, she had this way of making me feel like I was enough, you know? Until she didn't." We talked about that for a while. Him sharing stories of his own flings gone wrong. How one girl in Denver had cleaned out his apartment after a bad fight.
"Bitches be crazy,"
he said, laughing it off. As the night wore on, we got buzzed, reminiscing about high school pranks. Like the time we TP'd the principal's house and nearly got expelled. I excused myself to hit the bathroom, leaving him alone in the living room for maybe 5 minutes. When I came back, he was scrolling his phone, acting normal.
"Hey, you got any snacks? I'm starving."
I rummaged in the kitchen, tossed him some chips, and we kept talking until midnight. He crashed on the couch that night, promising to head out early for some family thing. The next few weeks blurred by in routine. Work, gym, and Netflix binges to fill the void Julia left. Then the weirdness started. First, a call from my bank. Overdraft fees because my checking account was drained by a series of bad checks totaling over $2,000. "What the hell?" I muttered, logging in to see bounces from places I'd never been. A liquor store in the suburbs, a pawn shop, even a strip club downtown. I froze the account, thinking it was some glitch or fraud ring. But it escalated. Credit alerts ping my phone. New cards open in my name at Best Buy, Target, even a high-limit Visa from Chase. Charges racked up fast. Electronics, cash advances, hotel rooms. My score tanked from 750 to the low 500s overnight. Bills arrived for shit I didn't buy. A flat-screen TV, jewelry, a goddamn motorcycle lease. Panic set in. I spent hours on hold with banks, filing police reports, and explaining to skeptical customer service reps that no, I hadn't gone on a spending spree.
"Sir, are you sure you didn't authorize this?"
one asked, her voice dripping with doubt. The cops were sympathetic, but blunt.
"Identity theft's a bitch. We'll investigate, but it could take months."
Nights were sleepless, replaying every interaction, wondering who could hate me enough to do this. Work suffered. My boss pulled me aside.
"You okay, man? You look like shit."
I confided a bit, and he nodded.
"My sister went through something similar after her divorce. Ruined her for years."
Then the breakthrough. Surveillance footage from one of the check cashing spots showed Jake, clear as day, forging my signature. My heart dropped. The driver's license number matched what I left in my wallet that night. He'd swiped checks from my book while I was in the bathroom. They nabbed him at a motel on the outskirts, high on whatever he'd scored with my money. I got the call from the DA's office.
"We've got your guy. Want to press charges?"
Hell yes, but recovering was hell. I disputed everything. Hired a credit repair service that cost me $500 I didn't have. My buddy Mike loaned me cash for rent. A month later, my phone rang from an unknown number. I almost ignored it, but then picked it up eventually.
"Hello?
It's Jake." His voice was small.
"What the f*** do you want?"
I snapped, anger surging.
"Look, man, I'm sorry. I was in a bad spot. I lost the job. I owed money to some bad people. I didn't mean to screw you over like that. You stole my identity, Jake. Drained my accounts. Ruined my credit. You think sorry cuts it?"
He paused. Then,
"Come on, man. Are you insane? We're friends. Remember all the we've been through? That time in college when I bailed you out after that bar fight? Friends forgive each other, man.
Be sensible. Drop the charges.
I can't go to prison, man. I'll lose everything.
Are you out of your mind? Friends don't steal from each other. They don't betray trust like that.
You need to own this, Jake. Face what you did. That means jail time.
Bro, please think about it. We go way back.
Way back to when you were a decent guy, Jake. Not this. Goodbye, Jake.
This story has been inspired from a real-life incident shared by one of our subscribers. This is what they said. I hadn't seen a friend in about 2 years, so I invited him over for a beer. While I wasn't looking, he stole a few checks and my driver's license details. Weeks later, he used them to open credit accounts, write bad checks, and drain my bank account. It took nearly a year to fix, though I eventually got most of my money back. After his arrest, he even asked me to drop the charges, saying, "Friends forgive each other." I told him forgiveness doesn't mean escaping responsibility. He still had to face jail for what he did. He also had an existing warrant for beating up his girlfriend.
I grew up in a trailer park in small town Louisiana. I had a pretty okay childhood, but then I moved to Chicago for college. For the first time, I was away from my tiny town, and I realized how many things I'd been missing. Chicago had so much to offer. The nightlife, the restaurants, the opportunities to meet people. For the first time, I was actually happy. At 19, I finally got my first boyfriend, Dave. I'd always been a plus-sized girl, and down in Louisiana, all the single guys ignored me. But in Chicago, there were plenty of eligible men who could look past my weight and love me for me. Dave and I worked together for a couple of years. I really thought he was the one. We were comfortable talking about anything. But whenever he asked about my childhood, I always changed the topic. Honestly, I was a little embarrassed by my white trash past. Dave didn't even know that he was my first real boyfriend. Last year, Dave and I both graduated. We had the summer off before we started our new jobs, so he suggested that we take a trip down to Louisiana so he could see where I grew up. I was really against the idea, but eventually, I just gave in. He booked our tickets, and then I booked the hotel rooms because I did not want us to stay at my parents' house. Dave grew up in Chicago, so he was shocked at how small my hometown was, in a good way. He said it was charming, like he was visiting a foreign country or something. We checked into our hotel, and then I gave him a tour around our main street. The whole time, he kept asking me when I was going to introduce him to my family and friends. We met my parents and brothers for dinner on our second night there, and everyone was surprised that a big girl like me could land a guy as handsome and successful as Dave. They seemed really happy for us, though. The next day, Dave kept asking me to introduce him to my old friends. I'd lost touch with everyone, and more importantly, I didn't want them to tell Dave about what a loser I was back in high school. He stopped pressuring me, but I could tell that he was disappointed. On the third day, we went to the town's only diner for lunch. Thankfully, it was completely empty, except for us and the waitress. We ate together, and I got to expose Dave to a real southern diner for the first time. Things were going really well until Ruth Ann walked in. Ruth Ann was my best friend throughout middle school and high school. We used to do everything together. But once I moved away, I realized that our relationship had been pretty toxic. In school, she played really cruel pranks on me almost every day. She'd make fat jokes constantly. She was always thin and beautiful, and I think she used me as her ugly fat friend to make her seem like a good person. Ruth was the last person I wanted to run into. I hid my face, hoping she wouldn't see me. But of course, she noticed me right away and walked over. "Becky!" she screamed. "Is that really you?" I had to acknowledge her and introduce her to Dave, who seemed thrilled to finally meet one of my old friends. Ruth sat next to me in our booth, acting like we were still best friends. I could tell she was really playing it up, because she wanted to impress my boyfriend. She started telling him a bunch of embarrassing stories about my childhood, leaving out all the parts where she was the reason I'd embarrassed myself. I just sat there, holding my tongue. Then she started telling Dave the one story I didn't want him to hear. When we were seniors and she tricked me into skinny dipping with her and then arranged for someone else to steal my clothes, I'd never been more embarrassed in my life. Dave seemed completely wrapped up in the story. He and Ruth laughed together, completely ignoring how uncomfortable I was. The lunch went on and on, though I barely said a word. Dave kept asking Ruth questions, which led to more embarrassing stories about me. They were really hitting it off. The way Dave looked at Ruth was almost flirtatious. I couldn't believe it. She was trying to steal my boyfriend from me, and it was working. We'd already finished eating, so I told Ruth it was great to see her, but that we had to go. Then Dave asked her, "We're going to hang out at our hotel if you want to join us." "Of course I would," Ruth answered. She wrapped her arm around my shoulder, and I felt like throwing up. "It's been so long since I've gotten to spend time with my best friend." The three of us left the restaurant and walked through Main Street. Ruth and Dave continued talking and flirting while I kept silent. I knew this trip was a bad idea. Before we got back to our hotel, we passed by the creek where I'd been forced to skinny dip all those years ago. I couldn't even look at it without having a panic attack. Then Dave stopped walking. He pulled Ruth aside and whispered something in her ear. She giggled and said, "That's brilliant." I asked what they were talking about, and Dave said, "No one's around, so I think we should try skinny dipping again, like you did when you were kids." I'd finally had enough. "No!" I screamed. "I'm going back to the hotel right now!" I started to storm off, but when I looked over my shoulder, I saw that they weren't moving. "We'll meet you back at the hotel then," Dave said, already pulling off his shirt. Ruth smiled mockingly at me. I turned back around and kept walking so that they couldn't see me cry. I went back to the hotel alone, furious. Even though I just had a big lunch, I ordered a bunch of room service to drown my sorrows. I ate and ate, thinking about how Dave had betrayed me. I told myself that once he got back, I'd break up with him. If he was going to treat me like this, then I didn't want him in my life. Hours passed until the hotel door finally opened and Dave walked in. He was fully clothed, but his hair was still dripping wet. "Where's Ruth?" I asked angrily. "Oh," he said casually, "she's not coming back." "What?" "Well, I saw right away what a terrible person she was," he explained. "I lured her into the creek and was hoping that she'd come back and steal her clothes, just like she'd done to you. I thought we were on the same page. I gave you a look."
"So you didn't like her?"
"Of course not," he said. "Wasn't that obvious?" "No. It wasn't at all. It looked like he was full on flirting with her, but I guess that was just part of his plan." "Apparently you didn't get the hint," he said, "so I had to improvise. I hope that's okay." "I don't understand. Where's Ruth?" "Oh, she drowned," he said casually. "What a shame." Then he walked closer and wrapped me in a tight, passionate hug.
"Did you?"
I started to ask, but I couldn't finish the sentence. I wanted to know if my boyfriend had murdered someone, but I didn't have the courage to ask. He understood what I was trying to say, though.
"Maybe,"
he answered coyly. Then he changed the subject to our plans for the rest of the evening. The next morning, my oldest brother called me with the news. He said that Ruth's body was found floating face down near the pig slaughterhouse. That was when I knew that Dave had told me the truth. Ruth Ann, my former best friend, had made my life miserable, and my boyfriend had drowned her because of it. When I got off the phone, Dave asked me what was wrong.
"She's dead,"
I told him.
"I hope I didn't overstep. I just wanted you to be happy."
He paused.
"Are you? Are you happy?"
I should have felt horrified, but the only feeling I had was absolute pure love.
"Thank you, Dave,"